This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah alayhi afdalu salah wa man wala. So this is part 12 of our series Life with Children. And today I want to bring your attention to Surah Maryam. And this is really, if you ever want to understand and learn how mothers communicate with Allah, it's very different in the Quran. It's personal, it's intimate. Then go to Surah Maryam and go to the story of Maryam. And I'm going to jump right into it because there's just so much to extract and so much to talk about to help us cope with life with children and young adults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when all is said and done, now let's start from the very beginning. Maryam alayhi salam, she gets this bushra or this glad tidings or good news from Jibreel alayhi salam. He comes to her and he tells her, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكِ لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. So basically, in a nutshell, when he gives her the news that she's pregnant and she's going to have a child, she says, أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ. She says pretty much, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. May I seek refuge from Ar-Rahman. He responds and he says, look, I'm just a messenger and I came to give you glad tidings that you're going to have a child. She responds and she says, قَالَتْ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا. She's like, I'm actually going to have a child and no man has ever touched me. I've never been intimate with anybody before. Then he responds and he says, قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. Again, just a general translation that this is... قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said and this is what He's decreed, and let it be. And this child is going to be placed as a miracle or as an ayah for all of mankind. So now let's really get into the whole point of today's reminder. Then it continues, فَحَمَلَتْهُ فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. Eventually what starts happening is she starts seeing that the womb is starting to develop, the child is growing. So she ends up leaving her city in where she was living and she goes and she finds a place and she hides. Why? Because she doesn't want to be seen that, subhanAllah, people are going to see that, she comes from a good family, she has good surroundings. Her father is a pious man, her mother is a chaste woman. How could this happen to her? So she doesn't want the rumors to start flying around. So here's the first lesson when you're coping with life with children in all of this. One thing that we almost never talk about is the psychological effects of pregnancy. And not just for the mother, but just the family as a whole. So let's just say husband and wife get married, they're living life, and they haven't really planned to have children. I know it's easy for people to say, well, Allah gave you a child, just be grateful. That's fine. We're not talking about that spiritual or religious connection to this miracle of having a child. What we're talking about is the effects of it mentally, the stress of wondering, how am I going to survive? We just got married. I didn't think we were going to have children this early. Or we were planning to have children, but much later. And now, we're having our first child. And so that the emotions and the psyche of the couple, especially the mother, it's overwhelming. And it could be potentially very stressful. So in this case here, what do you do? How do you cope with that kind of stress? Well, first and foremost, always remember provision and rizq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he mentions in Surah Tawbah, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَ فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. If you're ever afraid that as a family you're going to become poor or you're not going to have the means to take care of yourself and your children, you're not going to make ends meet, you have jobs, you guys got to work, there's income coming, but it's just simply not enough. Allah says, فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. I will, at some point, at a time that I'm pleased with, I will make you rich. I will make you to the point where you'll be able to self-sustain. Now remember, غَنِيٌ refers to somebody who can sustain themselves and is not dependent on anyone else. So Allah is saying here that I'm going to give you that sense of independence. Financially, you're going to be able to take care of yourselves and you're not going to depend on anyone else. But the criteria for that is, of course, doing the right things, working hard, getting out there, doing what it is that you can, and having faith and trust that Allah will see things through. So that's the first thing in terms of provision for your child. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, is that in this particular scenario, the fear of having a child too early or too late, especially when that child may potentially have complications or the mother may potentially have complications, just see a doctor. Don't think about, oh, subhanAllah, you know, I'm going through now the worst test of my life. If you feel like you can't have children, but all of a sudden you became pregnant and it was unexpected, go see a doctor. Scholars, they teach us that the doctors, for most part, in scenarios like this, they are the mufti. Like, they will decide, look, you know, this child, it's going to be a potentially dangerous situation. It could potentially make you more sick. The child, it might be more sick. Something can happen, and you can't have a child right now. There's just too much going on. And so when the doctor starts to diagnose and tell you these things, then you sit down with your husband and you try to work this out and try to figure out what is the best decision. And it's a case-by-case scenario. These are not just general principles across the board that you take. And then the third thing is, when it comes to the emotional and the psychological stress of having children, is the fear of their health, fear of the future, where are we going to live? We're still stuck in a basement somewhere. We're still living with our parents. We need to get our own life going. Where are we going to get additional income? We're barely scraping by. All of these things were never in our control to begin with. That's the whole point. It was never there for us to control and decide when and how. All of this stuff is from our Creator anyway. Never in the Quran does Allah tell us that wealth belongs to you, but instead He sends down wealth and He tells you how to trust that wealth, how to utilize it appropriately, how to work for it, and how to gain rizq in a halal way, and how to spend it in a proper way. All of these rules, but wealth in the end of the day, it belongs to Allah anyway, so He can take it or He can increase it. So it's really about developing that trust and that connection with your Creator. And those are the things that you really have to talk about and reinforce before starting a family. But nevertheless, the child is on the way. Maryam alayhi salam, the child is on the way. So she gets to an area and she hides. فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا. Man, subhanAllah, just look at the imagery that's happening here. She then eventually comes up to a date tree, and then she holds on to the date tree and she starts saying يا ليتني. ليتني is the kind of term that you say, it's how we say, oh my goodness, how can this happen? Why is this happening to me? So in another surah, Surah Al-Furqan, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about somebody that will come on the Day of Judgment and say, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. They will say, my goodness, subhanAllah, how could this have happened? Why did I do this to myself, that I didn't take such and such individual as a friend? So subhanAllah, on the Day of Judgment, here we are, where somebody might come and complain to Allah that they wish they had befriended a certain individual that could have encouraged them in a positive way, but instead they went the opposite direction. They used the same term. So this term, ya waylata or laytani, is a term that's used out of desperation. You're just, there's no words, you're lost for words. So she says that, Maryam alayhi salam, mittu qabla hadha. She says, had I died before experiencing the pains of labor, it would have been easily forgotten. In other words, I wish I could have just died before all of this happened. But Allah willed what He willed. And that's the second lesson. So the first lesson, when it comes to the fear and the anxiety and the emotional stress of having a child, that uncertainty. Number two, she actually says, وَكُنْتُ نَسِيًا مَنْسِيًا. despite that this was her case, despite what she may have wished for, despite what she was thinking about, at the end of the day, she still had to accept the reality. And this is a hard pill to swallow, but I'm going to say it anyway. For the parents, both mom and dad, when Allah gives you a child, and there's no reason for you to not go through and have that child, you need to have that child. And despite that, how unprepared you might feel, despite how emotionally and psychologically stressful and difficult it might be, let's be honest that for some, it might even take a toll in the marriage. That, okay, fine, Allah willed this and it's going to happen. But the arguments might still be there. Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? How are we going to raise a child? What kind of name? All of these different things. And it could just take a toll on the marriage itself. I've sat with, and I've counseled marriages that actually broke apart just because a child was involved, right? It was something unexpected and they weren't planning for it and so many other factors that were involved. But the point is, at some point, especially when there isn't a valid reason, you gotta accept that that child is on his way. And that's a gift from Allah. And the fact that we say out to ourselves that children are from Allah should be enough of a reason that we appreciate the fact that we could have this child. There are so many couples around the world who wish for children, but can never have it. And they will do anything and everything in their power to try to have children, and Allah won't give it to them. So for those of us who do have children, or are thinking about having children, and you might plan a certain time in your life where you want to settle down and have kids, but Allah decided a different time. The first and foremost is Alhamdulillah, to just be grateful that Allah has given you the first step in towards preserving a legacy, to creating a legacy, to put something behind, to leave someone behind with the teachings of not just Islam, but your own teachings as well about life experiences. And that's a great honor. And this is one of the main reasons why people want to have children. It's not just to for the sake of having a family, but you want to leave legacy behind. You want to be able to raise a child. And subhanAllah, is there any greater honor on this planet than to raise a child, to raise another human being? So it's a great honor and privilege. And that's the way that you have to approach when pregnancy and a child is on its way. And so Maryam alayhi salam, she's confused, she's lost, she doesn't know what happened. I mean, you know, this was something that was blessed to her. She didn't actually have a husband or anything, so she was blessed with this. So all of that's adding to the confusion. So she says something that anybody would say. She's like, my goodness, why is this happening? I wish I could have just gone. I wish I would have been dead before all of this took place. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا. Something called out to her from the bottom. Bottom of the tree, below somewhere. Scholars differ what that was. Some say it's actually the tree that's doing it. Others said, no, it was Jibreel alayhi salam that came to her again. The point is, there was a call. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي. That you don't be sad. Now here's the thing. How many times did we see huzn when we're talking about the subject of life with children? We saw it in Surah Luqman, we saw it in Surah Al-Qasas, Surah Fussilat. Now we're seeing it here again. Almost every single time, again, when we mentioned this in one of our previous episodes, that whenever there is this intimate yet close relationship with Allah and you go through a struggle, the reassurance is also personal. So when you're going through a personal difficulty, so such as, you know, labor pains, pregnancy, all of the hardships that are associated with that whole 9-month journey, that's intimate. You know, it's hard to share that with others, especially when they haven't gone through what you're going through. You know, even if you talk to another sister or somebody who's never had a child and you're trying to explain to them, you know, the labor pains, I can't sleep at night, I'm always hungry, or I can't eat what I want, I'm getting cranky, I'm emotionally down, etc., etc., etc. It's very difficult to find people that you can have that conversation with that can understand what it feels like. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes over this whole scenario and says, أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّ. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid and don't be sad. Just relax that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for you some sense of comfort beneath you. So just relax. So here's the third lesson for mothers in particular. when you find yourself in those moments that can be overwhelming, you know, certain things happen with your kids. And, you know, your son, let's say, for example, goes to college one day and comes home and says, "Mom, is Islam really the truth? Like, do we really have to continue to be Muslim? Do we have to pray 5 times a day? Why do I have to wet my limbs every time I want to start praying? Like, why do I have to do that? Allah should just be able to accept what's in my heart and I should just be able to pray." You know, those kinds of moments where you're in shock. All the things that you've taught, all the things that you've encouraged, all the things that you've tried your best to influence and inspire in your child. Now all of it is being questioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this kind of reassurance is saying, just relax. Handle the situation. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to take away your pain. I'm going to remove this child now. I'm going to allow you to just be back the way things were. No. He calms her down. And so this is our way of when stressful times come in within the family, there always has to be that one person, that one figure that can calm things down and keep things under control, composed, civilized. And yes, brothers, yes, husbands, I'm speaking to you. The Quran, one of the things that it does is that it calls husbands and fathers imams. Imams is that when these times come up, that there should always be somebody that could step in and say, you know what, enough is enough, we got to stop worrying this way. And Allah is calling out that the men, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, we made you people who are conscious of Allah, but you're also, you have this thing in you that you have to be leaders when it comes to preserving and protecting Islam in the house. And this is really important, that the husband, one of his primary roles is to preserve and protect Islam in the house. So when he sees that others are struggling in the path of Allah in whatever capacity, it is his job to step up and be the imam of the home and just say, okay, look, we got to sort this out. This is what we have to do. For her, she's already a natural imam in the house because why? She's there, she's taking care of all of the dynamics, all of the things that are happening within the home, whether it be with the children, whether it be with the house, all of the emotions, all of the struggles, all of the other issues. And his job is to ensure that he creates a protective barrier and protect the house and protect Islam so that people are comfortable, they feel safe, and they're able to practice their religion. And subhanAllah, it works on both ends. They are a supportive cast to one another. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. They are, meaning the women, they are a libas, a garment of protection, love and care for you, and you are the same for them. So at the end of the day, although we have the same roles, how they're broken down is different. And so we're seeing a hint of that. When Maryam alayhi salam, at the end of the day, she wishes that she could just, you know, die before all of this pain happened. She's scared. And what does Allah do? Allah gives her the reassurance that it's okay. Allah tahzani, and don't be so sad. And then in conclusion, she's told now, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطُبًا جَنِيًا. Basically, grab a trunk off of this tree and shake it. And you'll see some of the sweetest dates will fall. And they will be your source of nourishment. So Allah provides. That's the whole thing. So how did we start this off? We started this off talking about those of us who might be fearful of starting a family. How did this conversation end? What did Allah give reassurance to Maryam alayhi salam? He not only allowed her to blessed her to have this child, this miraculous child that's going to be one of the greatest prophets ever, but also he provided for her all of the nourishment, the vitamins, the things that you need in order to survive that. And so the next lesson here is, when you find out, okay, you're pregnant, take care of yourself. You know, it is what it is, at the sense that, okay, Allah chose now, let me enjoy this. Let me do what I have to do to ensure that I'm not questionable in the sight of Allah, that I raise this child to the best of my ability. Let me take care of myself. Let me take care of this child. Let me do what I have to do. And I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate provider. He promises, if you fear that you can't take care of your family, now I will make you self-dependent. I will make you somebody that can rely on yourself. You are independent. You can survive. You can do the things that you need to do to get through this. And once we have that attitude, and we can preserve that attitude, it's our iman and faith with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would help us get through that. And so with that being said, she's told, فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. Eat, drink, and just make yourself happy. Did you see how this whole scenario turned around? It started off with fear, that Maryam alayhi salam was saying, أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ, you know, may Allah protect me, may Ar-Rahman protect me from what you're trying to say. You're saying I'm pregnant. And then Jibreel alayhi salam is just saying, look, I'm just a messenger. I just came here to give you the glad tidings. Then she runs away. Then she starts wishing for herself to die, to pass away before the pain begins. Then the pain start to begin. Then she has nothing to eat. She's poor. Then Allah provides for her. And then Allah gives her reassurance. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي, and don't be afraid. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, eat, drink, and just relax. فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. Just settle your eyes. قُرَّةُ عَيْن also means coolness of the eyes. And that's what children do. All of you who have children, how did you feel when you saw your child for the first time pray beside you? When you saw your daughter for the first time perform wudu by herself? When you saw your son one day, you hear something in his room, and before you know it, he's reading some Quran by himself. Those are the things that are also part of Qurratu A'yun, that they bring coolness and a sense of happiness and joy through the eyes. You're pleased. Qurratu A'yun also means tears of joy. So you're moved. The emotions start to stir up and you're moved because you're seeing your 2 or 3 year old child and they're trying to pray, they're trying to imitate mom and dad. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. But as they continue to grow and mature, you're seeing more of that, more of the things that you've tried to influence and encourage are starting to manifest. They're growing, they're maturing, they're understanding their true identity. It's a tearful moment. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling her now, he completely shifted the narrative now from being afraid and from being confused and frustrated to just eat and just drink and just relax. And so for all of the parents out there who are spending a lot of time at home and you're worried about the overall protection and safety, not just physically, but also spiritually, that the identity of your children are protected, that they're proud of to being Muslim. فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. Just eat, drink, calm down, and handle the situation. Counsel, advise, never give up. Seek help when you need it. Do all of these little things. And you're going to see that later on, Maryam alayhi salam, this is exactly what she does. She seeks out and she calls upon Allah and she thanks Allah and she's grateful to Allah for what Allah gave her. You know, once you have that attitude of shukr, patience follows, as we mentioned in one of our previous episodes. So when you take all of these components together, life with children isn't so bad. As a matter of fact, it could be the most blessed, happy experience of your entire life. It definitely has challenges, but when you talk to a parent who has lost a child and you ask them, that this despite that the child could have had their bad days, could have, you know, became a teenager and did all kinds of things, but for whatever reason they lost that child, and you ask that parent, you know, how was he? There's a good chance that the mother or the parent would say, that child was perfect. You know, I miss him. Yeah, he was difficult at times, but he was a good son. She was a good daughter. And that's what we have to be able to remember as we continue journeying through life with children, is that as long as we have them, Allah will provide for them. Allah will protect us. We have to show gratitude, be patient, continue to do the things that we do, and trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with children at a time that was pleasing to Him, not at a time that we had planned for or anticipated. So with that being said, I hope that this episode at least gives some sense of renewed hope and gratitude for our families, and especially for our children. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, one of the names that He uses for children is thamarat, fruits. That's what children are. So when you bite into a good fruit and it feels good, so whether it be, I don't know, like a mango or something, and you bite into this fruit and it feels good, that's what children do. That when you see them after a long day, they just bring happiness to you. So these are the things to focus on. Don't focus on just the bad moments and allow that to exterminate and erase all of the good things about your children. That's what we're seeing here when this shift from the fear came now to just relax, be happy, and enjoy this time. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to reward and protect all of us and our families. And may Allah azza wa jalla continue to bring us closer to our children and our children closer to their parents. And bless the relationship. Allahumma ameen. So with that being said, guys, please, as always, take the time to share this with your kids, with the young adults in the house as well. If you're not doing that already, parents, if you don't mind, if you're watching this by yourself, that later at some point, watch this with your kids. Again, it's a reminder and a time to educate both ends of the spectrum. So that's really important for life with children to function well. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you all. Till we meet again, guys, take care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.